This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Ramadan 360 to you and who we have been graciously and generously supporting throughout the month, alhamdulillah. Of course, we have HHRD in the USA. We have the Islamic Relief Organization in Canada. And of course, we have Forgotten Women in the UK. We'll drop the links throughout the day in the chat. Please continue to support those who support those most in need in our ummah. And do your part to be generous as you can, as you've been generous, alhamdulillah, throughout this beautiful month of Ramadan. And also, we want to make sure that everyone is aware that we do have our automated giving campaign for the last 10 nights. If this experience has been valuable, if it's been beneficial to you, I know many of you watch with your family. Some people get cash the recordings. Whether it's this experience with Al-Maghrib or the countless other ways in which we bring authentic Islamic knowledge to you, whether it be through the on-site courses, the online courses, the virtual courses, the webinars, whether it be through our Tarbiyah program, our Murabbi program, whatever the modality, whatever the method in which you experience Al-Maghrib, we want to continue this journey. We want to continue the mission. As was mentioned in the webinar, despite the fact that we're over 20 years in, we believe this is the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more potential, so much more that we want to do for the ummah in terms of spreading knowledge. And we want you all to be a part of that journey and a part of that story. So we do encourage you to join us at almaghrib.org/donate and help us with our campaign. There are one-time donation options, and you also have the ability to automate your donation throughout the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, and we have it set up through our IT team, so it'll actually take the donation at night in your local time, mashallah. So that way you will be guaranteed that every night of those last 10 nights, which bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, one of those nights is Laylatul Qadr, that you will have donated and supported Al-Maghrib and its mission and invested in many students, many families such as your own who have benefited from this knowledge and who have taking it on into other facets and aspects of their life. And you can also bring to life the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is reported in Bukhari and Muslim, in which we learn that there are two angels, malakan yanzilani, they come down every day that a servant of Allah wakes up. There are two angels making dua. One of those angels makes dua, Allahumma a'ti munfiqan khalafa, O Allah, anyone who is spending, anyone who is giving, anyone who is charitable and generous, whoever's spending, then give them more, replace for them. Give them, in the scholars they mentioned, this could be in this dunya, he replaces it for you now. It could be in the hereafter as well. And then, of course, the other angel makes the dua, Allahumma a'ati mumsikan talafa. May Allah protect us. Oh Allah, the one who is stingy, the one who's holding back, who's not donating, May Allah bring destruction to their wealth. And the scholars, they mentioned this could be the removal of barakah, the removal of blessing. So they're keeping their money, they're not spending it for the sake of Allah. And so the barakah goes away, or it could be other forms of destruction. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. But we are, alhamdulillah, a generous community, a blessed community, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Let's go ahead and continue by sharing those blessings, inshallah, throughout the month of Ramadan, and especially in these critical last 10 nights. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla accept from each and every one of you for your generous support. So let's take a look, alhamdulillah. We have, mashallah, a good amount of folks, 200 people in the Zoom, many more on YouTube, it looks like. So I am just overwhelmed by the energy and the amount of dedication that our students have. May Allah continue to bless you. And I am so excited, so honored to welcome our beloved Sheikh and teacher who I benefited through so many years of my life, and many generations of Al-Maghrib students have as well. Sheikh Waleed, welcome, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan assalam wa rahman. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, wonderful, Sheikh. I'm so excited to be a part of the webinar earlier today, to be a part of this session. Ramadan 360 has just been a tremendous blessing for all of us. Alhamdulillah, everything's wonderful. How are you?
Excellent.
Alhamdulillah.
Very good. Alhamdulillah.
Allah barak fi.
Looking forward for your visit to Houston.
Yes, it's in the works, inshallah. Coming soon.
Inshallah. إن شاء
بسم
الله.
الله شيخ. Please go ahead. We're excited
أوكي.
to hear about the topic of النصيحة إن
بسم
شاء
الله،
الله.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه بعد. Today I would like to speak to you about something that it is one of the fundamental concepts in Islam. It is one of the most important concepts in Islam, to the extent that the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the whole deen, the whole religion is an-nasiha, is advising. The whole entire religion is an advising. Advising is something so critical and so important, and it's such an important element in our life, social life, and also one of the most important means for success. And it's such a big topic, and it can be addressed in many different ways. But if you look at the way al-Quran, one of the most important to look at when you study the life of the prophets and the messengers in the Quran is to see their qualities. And one of the standout qualities of those prophets and messengers that they give advice. That's their job, is to advise their people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Nuh, for example, أُبَلِّغُكُمْ رِسَالَاتِ رَبِّي وَأَنْصَحُ لَكُمْ, I advise you. He said about Hud, وَأَنَا لَكُمْ نَاصِحٌ أَمِينٌ, I'm a sincere advisor. أَنْ صَالِحٌ, وَنَصَحْتُ لَكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُحِبُّونَ النَّاصِحِينَ, I have advised you, but you don't like those who advise. He told his people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. One of the qualities of this prophet, that حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ, he cares for you. And he shows his care for us by advising, by giving us. That's why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not pass away. And he knows anything that it will benefit the ummah unless he have sallallahu alaihi wasallam deliver it. And unless he have passed on. To the extent that the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when people accept Islam, they used to give something called bay'ah, allegiance, a commitment. And part of what they commit to, as Jarir ibn Abdullah said, bay'atu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I give my bay'ah to my commitment to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to do what? Ala iqam al-salat, to perform the salah, and to give the zakat, wa nusuh li kulli muslim, and to advise every Muslim. Al-nasiha is something that it is, something was very common and practiced and welcome, and something that is very distinguished in the characteristic of the early generations. And Ibn Mas'ud rahimahullah wa radiyallahu anhu said, when he commented in the verse, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِ اللَّهَ أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْمِ, when you say to someone, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ, became arrogant. And it became like arrogant and say, who are you to advise me? Ibn Mas'ud said, it is when you advise your brother and he will tell you, oh, care for yourself. Someone like you should not, will not teach me. Sometimes we do that even as parents. Are you going to teach me? Or you young person going to teach me? That's أخذته العزة بالإثم, يقول ابن مسعود. It is the quality of the disbeliever and the hypocrites that they don't like to be advised. And if somebody advises you and you feel that you're not comfortable with, and you feel like, you know, you hated it, and you basically, I'm not talking here about someone who advised you in a wrong way. I'm talking about the advice as a concept. Someone doesn't like to be advised and doesn't like to be corrected. The best advice you want to hear, be yourself. That's the best advice you want to hear. That's a sign of hypocrisy. That's the way of the arrogant disbeliever. And you know, subhanAllah, yani, it's interesting. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he is in the process of his death, and he's dying. And a young man came and to give him salam, to want to see him. When he was leaving, Umar called him. He said, come back, young man. I notice your thobe, your clothes dragging on the in the ground. Make sure you make your lower garment short, shorter than your ankle. Raise it above your ankle. It is something that please your Lord, and it will keep your clothes clean. He gave that advice even in the last minute of his life. I'm better than Umar Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. While the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam trying to catch his last breath before he run out of breath, he was saying to all of us, as-salat, as-salat. Make sure that you do a salah. Make sure that you take care of the salah. Make sure that you establish the salah. He gave advice in regard to women, to treat them well, the servants, the slave. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, it is one of the rights of your Muslim brother upon you. وَإِذَا اسْتَنْصَحَ أَحَدُكُمْ أَخَاهُ فَلْيَنْصَحْ حَقُّ الْمُسْلِمِ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ حَدِيثَ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ. The right of a Muslim upon other Muslim, that when you ask his advice, that he advise you sincerely, or he advise you. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when someone asks you for advice, give the advice to them. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, في حديث جبير بن مطعم, ثلاث لا يغل لا يغل عليهن قلب امرئ مسلم. Three things the Muslim's heart should be always filled with sincerity in regard to these three things. One of them, وَمُنَاصَحَةُ وَلَاةُ الْأُمُورِ, that you give advice to the leaders. SubhanAllah, this, and the second one, to stick with the, to be unified with the Muslim. وَلُزُومُ جَمَاعَةِ مُسْلِمِينَ, you don't break the community. And the third one is sincerity. What that means, لَا يَغِلُّ عَلَيْهِنْ, it means it purify your heart. And subhanAllah, those who have pure heart will always care for these things. I remember Sheikh Abu Bakr al-Jazairi, who's an older scholar in Medina. He visited the United States, I think, in 2000. And I was blessed, alhamdulillah, to be in the company of him and other scholars as well. But from all of them, he's maybe the oldest among all the group, the most senior. And he's very, subhanAllah, known of his sincerity. He's like, rahimahullah ta'ala. Anyway, Sheikh Abu Bakr, he'd been teaching in the Masjid al-Haram al-Nabawi, Masjid Medina to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, more than 40 years. Okay. So anyway, Sheikh Abu Bakr, he was about to depart, to leave America after his visit. Then he asked me and other brothers, he said, I cannot leave before I write a letter to the president. At that time, the president was, if I'm not mistaken, was Bill Clinton. He wanted to write a letter to the president of the United States as an advice. He said, I am a Muslim scholar who visited your country, and I'm grateful and thankful for all the, the welcoming and the way we treated in the airport. And I want to advise you. And he advised him about Islam and told him about Islam and how important Islam is for himself personally, salvations, and for his people. And he wrote a beautiful letter to him. And he said, I want to send it to the president. And he said, maybe some other young imams or will not, feel, but for me as a senior scholar representing Islam and Muslims, I think it's an obligation of me to give an advice to him. I felt how sincere this person. He didn't show this up. He didn't write it. He didn't put it in social media. No. And nasiha is an art. Advising is an art. And I would like to break this topic to different, approach it from multiple angles. There is certain etiquette when it comes to giving advice from the perspective of the one who is giving the advice. The advice. Al-Hassan al-Hussein, it was reported that once they passed by an older man who making wudu, but he is not doing wudu properly. So they looked at each other and they said to this old man, "Uncle, I want you to watch my wudu and to watch his wudu, and to tell us which one is wudu is closer to the sunnah or better." Then they made wudu in front of him. He got it. Then he said, I understood your point. He said, you guys do your wudu perfect. I'm the one who don't know how to make wudu. I'm the one who making the mistake. But this was their way to advise someone who's older than them. Exactly. It's wisdom. So let's explore some of these etiquettes. Number one, anytime you want to give advice to someone, make sure that you are sincere. Your point is not to show that you know. Your point is not to show that you have higher taqwa, higher knowledge, better, you know, or to put somebody's down or to belittling the person. Okay, make sure it's not about ghiba or about to be famous. Like, unfortunately, today people give advice to, let's say, powerful people, speak truth to power. But they speak truth to power so they can put it online. So it became a trend. So it has way more likes and share. That's just not right. That destroyed the nasiha. And nasiha is an act of worship. And in order for this act of worship to be accepted by Allah, it has to be done sincerely. Sometimes we advise our kids just to show them, to humiliate them, or to advise someone. You know, just it's not about the advice. It's about like it just showing up and boosting and or sometimes it is meant to humiliate the person, to make fun of people, to expose their mistakes. It was narrated in the hadith that لا تظهر الشماتة بأخيك فيعافيه الله ويبتليك ومن عير أخاه بدم لم يموت حتى يفعله. And more likely it is a statement from scholars, not as authentic as hadith, but anybody who make fun of somebody else's mistakes, who make fun of somebody else's sins, making fun of it, happy for it, oh, I got you, kind of, you know, attitude, will not die before he himself fall in the same mistake. He himself will do the same sin. I know someone who used to tell me, I used to make fun of all these people. He said, SubhanAllah, Shaheed, when I was young, I always make fun of those who married and they have like 5, 6 kids. I said, 6 kids? This is too many, too much. These guys don't know how to control themselves. This is blah, blah, blah. So I used to make fun of all this, especially certain people from certain, like Palestinians, Egyptians, whatever. You know, he said, oh, and he always make fun of them. I would never have that. I'll only have, and I laugh because I know this brother. He has 10 kids. He said, SubhanAllah, I used to make fun of it, but I basically, and I realized that it was not right. Number two, always choose the best way of saying things. So many times it's not about what you're saying. It's about how you're saying it. What kind of words that you use. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in regard to the believers, وَهُدُوا إِلَى الطَّيِّبِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ. Allah guide them to say the طيب of القول, the good things, to say the good and the right words. You know, Allah says, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Say to people what is nice. وقل لعبادي يقولوا التي هي أحسن. Tell my servant to say the best of words. العلماء said, Allah said, follow that by saying, إن الشيطان ينزغ بينهم. The shaitan will cause animosity. The scholar said, because if you say a statement, shaitan maybe make it misunderstood. If you say a statement which is vague, could mean good and bad, being sarcastic. The shaitan bring, you know, come to whisper to the person and he take it in the most wrong way and it became a problem. Allah did not say what is good. He said, say the best to close that door for the shaitan completely. And this is in Surah Al-Isra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always elevate al-kalim al-tayyib. إليه يصعد الكلم الطيب. Elevate the good words. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, good words is sadaqah. الكلمة الطيبة sadaqah. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, ليس المؤمن بالطعان ولا اللعان ولا الفاحش ولا البذيء. المؤمن is not a one who الطعان, the one who accuse. اللعان, the one who curse. الفاحش, the one who use indecent language. البذيء, the one who use improper words. And this hadith in Tirmidhi. Look, يعني, subhanAllah, Ibn Abbas once was asked, not Ibn Abbas, sorry, Al-Abbas, his father. Al-Abbas, radiallahu anhu. Al-Abbas is the Prophet's uncle. قيل, أنت أكبر أم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ أكبر, it means older, but also it means greater. So it's a tricky word. In this context, it means older, but also it could, akbar, it means I'm bigger or greater. You or the Prophet ﷺ? He said, the Nabi ﷺ greater than me, and I was born 2 years before him. He didn't say, I'm akbar min al Nabi ﷺ, I'm bigger, better, or like older. He said, around fire. Then he called them. He said, he want to know who they are. He said, oh, people of the light over there. So the narrator said, Umar radiallahu said, oh, the people of light. He didn't say the people of fire. Ya ahl al-nar. Ma qal? Qal ya ahl al-daw. See how even this, like he chooses his word very carefully. When someone said, to him, يعني أبو بكر رضي الله عنه in the famous hadith, he said, when someone said, قال لا جزاك الله خير, قال لا وجزاك الله خير. هذه واو الفارقة. يعني it says, no جزاك الله خير. Why no جزاك الله خير? You see, when he said, no جزاك الله خير. No thank you. You know, it sounds like I'm saying no thank you to you in Arabic or even English. So it's no, full stop, then thank you, or comma, thank you. In Arabic, we add the letter waw to make that distinguish. La wa jazakallahu khairan. La wa shukran lak. Even to be very careful about the words that you do. You know, there is one of the judges, he used to have a blind man come to his gathering. Sit with him. And when this blind man want to leave, he never tell people, hey, take his hand and to wherever he want. He said, go with him. As if you go, as if he is the one who leads. Even though he's a blind, he needs someone to lead him. He will not say, hey, take him and lead him. He said, go with him. Out of respect for him. You know, this is an art, how to choose the right word. There is one, this in the old days, they have somebody called mu'addib, someone like he teach people proper manners. So he has one of the students of his. So the emir, the prince or the governor, want to test how good manners this teachers teaches students. Then he said to the students, he's a young kid, young man. He said to him, he look at this, and he show him the ring, the Khalifa's, the governor's ring, the prince ring. And he said, have you seen anything better than this ring? Then he said, yes, the finger that's in it. Your finger. And he was like shocked. Then he was in this in the house of that teachers. I think this was his son. Then he said, which house is better? The house of Amir al-Mu'mineen or your home? Then he said, yeah, Amir al-Mu'mineen. When you are in our house is better. When you are not in our house, your house better. Then he said, I don't think there is anyone can teach people how to speak. You know, we might say like he's just, you know, just giving any cheap talks, but no, he chooses word carefully. And I'm saying this because sometimes people who have multi languages can be caught in the middle. Make sure that you know how to answer, how to say things in the right way. And don't rush because sometimes it's hard. Like some culture, it might be different. When you say, no, thank you. No, I don't want this. Some culture, they're not used to say no, then follow that with thanks or please. It's a just different culture. But if you speak in English, make sure that you learn. So when you advise, when you talk, you sound correct. And I've seen people, especially sometimes when we come into the media, talk to officials, elected officials, give da'wah to non-Muslims, to indigenous people. Make sure you know how to speak in the right way. We must know that some of us, English is not their first language. You need to know how to say it in the nice way. You know, I had my own struggle with my spouse. You know, and we need to have sabr with that. For example, one of the things that is interesting is to know how to make. Sorry, just give me 1 second. Just don't want that. The camera to turn off on me. For example, instead of making a direct questions, you can make it an indirect question. Why don't you do some more exercise? Versus, how about doing some more exercise? Put yourself in the person's position. If I were you, I would do more exercise. Make suggestion. I would suggest doing more exercise. I would recommend doing more exercise. When you give advice, make sure that you give advice with lean, with gentleness, not with harshness. And before I move from the words, words one thing, but the tone, and that's where the harshness comes, the body language. So not only the word and the way you phrase your talk, also the way you say it is so important. Be gentle. You remember the story of the man who came and he urinated in the masjid of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and everybody came and started attacking him, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, just leave him. So gentle. Until he finished. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained to him, this masjid, you cannot do this in the masjid. Then he said, I will lie, I never seen any teacher like him. It was so nice. And same thing, Mu'ayy ibn al-Hakam Sulami. He was praying behind the Prophet. So one Muslim sneezed and said, Alhamdulillah. So Mu'awiyah said, Yarhamuk Allah. In the salah. So the people look at him. And then he said, why are you telling me to be quiet? He said, Alhamdulillah. And I said, Alhamdulillah in the salah. Can you imagine? So people get like upset. And after that, they came left and right. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, hold on, bring him to me. He said, Wallahi ma naharani wala darabani wala shatani. He didn't use any bad language. He didn't talk to me in a bad way. He didn't hit me or anything. He just told me that this salah, you cannot speak on it the way you talk outside the salah. And he was so happy. He said, "Oh Allah, have mercy on me and Muhammad and none of these guys." Yeah, he was so moved by how Nabi Sallam nice to him, and he was angry at them. Allah said, "فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ." It is because the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you became soft with them, gentle with them. Another etiquette of nasiha is private. I don't know, where is private nasiha? People give you nasiha on Twitter. I have nasiha for your brothers, and I put it on Twitter, or X, or Facebook, or Instagram. What kind of nasiha is that? And it's not nasiha, it's nasiha to an individual. If a nasiha about a concept, yes, but an individual. You don't do that. That's not how a nasiha is. تعمدني بنصحك في انفرادي وللبني النصيحة في الجماعة. الشافعي said, when you want to advise me in private, not in public. Private is something will make me accept your advice. Private, but in public, it's a form of humiliation that I will not accept. Mus'ar ibn Kidam, one of the great scholars of hadith, said, may Allah have mercy to those who have gifted me my mistakes between me and them. Because telling me my mistakes in public in front of people, it's a humiliation. And I'm not talking about a concept, and I'm not talking about someone who does something wrong and you correct them in public. Like somebody drinking with the left hand and you said, hey, don't drink with your left hand. It isn't. But I'm talking about advice. It's a concept that you want to advise them about. You should do this, you should do that, you should not do that. You should be good to your parents, good to your children, you know, with your masjid, with the da'wah. By the way, this is not the right, and this is not understanding of Islam. You don't do that in public to humiliate the person. And imagine this is done also with elected officials and leaders. And there's a difference between me, for example, you know, talking to a governor or two. And I'm saying this because, unfortunately, we have the etiquettes that are taken from the left or the right. And we should take our etiquettes from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, openly, you can object to the injustice that happened and done by your government or your, you know, your governor or elected officials or whatever. Talk about the concept. But to talk to the person in a personal level and to give him an advice, that should be in a private manner. One of the etiquettes also for advice, when you give someone advice, make this a reason for you to to practice what you preach. One thing also, an important for you when you give an advice, don't be angry if somebody did not accept your advice. It's an advice. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be taken. And that shows a great deal of sincerity. I'm telling you about myself. I can share you with you my experience. Alhamdulillah, sometimes I give good advice. But you know what I notice, my brothers and sisters? And Abdurrahman, I can share this with you too. Some people like my advice so much that they frame it up on the wall instead of following it. So it became just a code, you know? You know, we might give advice, but we can't give conduct. As I think Abraham Lincoln, if I'm not mistaken, said once. So one other thing also I want to say, when you give an advice, avoid arguing. We give advice, it's not about arguing and debate. A debate's not an advice. You know, don't try to embarrass, corner the person. Khalas, you make your point and you move on. Also, when you give advice, make sure that you are certain and have correct information. And sometimes it becomes accusation. I want to advise you about this and this and this and that. Yeah, but brother, I didn't do that. It didn't ever happen. So make sure it is correct information first before you give the advice. Allah says in Surah Al-Hujurat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة فتصبحوا على ما فعلتم نادمين. Especially with all these doubts. Like sometimes Make sure you know. Like, I give you an example. Recently, I have encountered people talk to one of the elected officials, saying to him, you need to do this, you need to do this, you did this, you did that. And it was so embarrassing for us as a community. When that election said, but I didn't do that. That's not true. You might read that on Facebook, but that's not, I never did that when I was elected. Or another person, another incident, he said, guys, you asking me to do something I don't have the power to do. Like, it's not part of my jurisdictions. Not part of my, I don't have the tool. I don't have the ability to do that. Jurisdiction, yeah. Make sure that you know what you're asking before you ask the advice to the person. Also, like somebody said, Sheikh, I have an advice for you. You do this. Yeah, Habib, but this person you talk about, is not my friend. It's not someone close to me. It's not my part of my community even. So make sure you know what you talk about before you give the advice. Also, remember what Luqman said to his son. When you give an advice, expect retaliation. Expect that you might get attacked. Expect that you might be, even if it's not a personal advice, be patient with the reaction of people. Be wise. Wisdom is the key point. Wisdom can be manifested in the following point. Right? Choose the right time. Your husband just come back from the work. Your wife just came back. Just wake up from sleep. Somebody's sick. It's not the right time to give advice. Yeah. Also, the right time, the right place. We're about to leave. We're about to go. We're about to eat. It's the right time, the right place. Also, make sure that you put your priorities. That's wisdom. I talk to this person about salah, or I talk about like eating with the left hand. Sometimes left hand is take priority. Sometimes the salah, it depends on the priority of the time. But as a concept, somebody who doesn't follow the sunnah at all, somebody doesn't follow Islam, somebody who doesn't pray, these are more important. You know your priorities. Also, part of wisdom is to know the person that you are giving advice, their age, their status. You can't speak to someone, for example, who's the chief police of the city, who has, you know, certain type of attitude, thousands of people under his command. You don't speak to him the same way you speak to your son or to your brother or someone who is like in your peer. You know, also somebody in a time of calamity, you don't give an advice. Like, I give you an example. You know, just a disaster happened or a massacre happened. Then we start talking about advice about gun control or about, you know, your people doing all this aggression. That's why, you know, the foreign policy of the country, it's bad. That's not the time for giving this advice. It's like someone, her son died from drugs. Can you imagine? And I'm going to give my condolences to this mother. Her son just died from drugs. And I said, I told you, drugs are bad. You know, didn't tell you, your son should not hang out of the room with the bad crowd. That's what happened. That's what drugs lead to. That's not the right time for it. It's like, for example, I'll give another example. People, kids come for Halloween. Trick and treat, trick or treat. They come to your house for treat. And mashallah, you give them lecture about Islam. Habibi, these kids are coming for candy, not coming for your lecture about Islam. That's just not the right time for it. Part of wisdom, also, look at that. Know what are the issues. Sometimes there is a deeper issue. Like, I was in a masjid once, and they asked me about doing Salat al-Janazah on the people who die in Palestine. And there is a big problem between the community and the imam. They want Salat janazah on them, blah, blah, blah. The imam said, khalas, if there is somebody pray janazah on them, there is no need to pray janazah in here. But I realized that the problem is not the fiqh issue. The wisdom was to give an advice is, I think the community feel that the imam is not emotionally invested in the crisis over there. So immediately what I did, I started making dua to the people of Palestine. And I made a long dua. خلاص they don't care about صلاة الجنازة. As long as you make dua for them, that's all what we want. So sometimes you have to be wise, you know. Also, men different than women, young different than, also which generation you're talking about. You know, I remember somebody was talking to a man and he was telling him, he gave the hadith of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when the man came, Rasulullah, give me permission to do zina. And he said, would you accept this for your mother, for your, he said, no. So he used this with someone who is non-Muslim or a convert. And he said, would you be okay if your mom date someone or sleep with someone out of marriage? He said, yeah, that's up to her. So the person was shocked by the answer. He thinks that it has to be the same answer of the Prophet ﷺ. No, people come from a different culture. Yeah, she wants to sleep whatever she wants. That's her girl. So you need to know, not because the Nabi ﷺ used that language or word, it will fit every culture. That's called wisdom. Make sure that your nasiha will not cause a greater harm. A greater harm. SubhanAllah. Ibn Abbas was asked once, should I advise everyone? He said, no. Allah said, وَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى. In, you give advice when you see the reminder will be beneficial. But if you know it's not going to be beneficial, it's not going to benefit someone, you don't give it. You don't give it. Sif al Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, sometimes some people do this. He didn't mention them by name. Sometimes you give someone a gift, a form of books, or maybe a website to check it out. And you make your point. You know? There are two things which is a man should يعني, 100% avoid. Giving advice that he would not follow, and asking advice when he's determined to pursue his own opinion. Also, be patient. When you give advice, don't expect instant. Ya akhi, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took years to change people. Just be patient with them. When Safwan said, Ya Muhammad, give me a month to think about your religion. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, 4 months. Talaka arba'at ashur. Before 4 months finished, he came and he said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Also, when you give advice, don't make it too long. Short advice, like Ibn Mas'ud used to give advice, not every day, every Thursday. Some people, mashallah, every day advice, every time he sees kids advice. Also, be honest. When you give advice, you know, in giving advice, seek to help, not to please. يعني when you give advice, seek to help the person, not to please the person. الصديق من صدقك لا من صدقك. Your true friend is the one who's honest with you, not the one who just say, oh, this is right, everything is right. So it is important to be honest when you give the advice. And Allah will ask you because it's a trust. Finally, يعني just very quickly, for the other one, in the other end, the one who receiving the advice. You know, it takes a great man to give sound advice, tactfully. But you know what? A greater man is the one who accepted graciously. No doubt. That's why you have to learn how to accept it with graciousness, with being, you know, with open heart, with open mind. So when Musa alayhi salam, a man came to him and he said, Inna al-mala ya'tamiruna bik, they are plotting against you to kill you. I'm advising you, leave the town. What Musa said, no, I have the palace, I have this, I have power, I'm a, you know, no. فَخَرَجَ مِنْهَا, immediately he left. خَائِفَ يَتَرَقَّى. You know, there is a man, a Jewish person, his name Ibn Sa'na'ab. He read the Torah and he saw in the Torah all the descriptions of the upcoming prophet, and every description fit the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He witnessed that, except one description, he didn't see it yet, which is, كُلَّمَا زدته غضبا زاد حلما. Every time you make him more, he's supposed to make him more angry, he became more patient and forbearing. Then he said, I want to test that. If this is in him, that means he is the prophet and the messenger. So he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Muhammad, you have taken loan. Give me back my money, or give me back what you have taken from me. Ya Bani Abdul Muttalib, you are guys known for never pay people back on time. And was angry and raising his voice. Umar radiallahu anhu, he became so angry that you can tell in his eyes that there is fire in his eyes. And he almost want to go and strike this man. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, let me, you know, teach this man. Umar, Ya Umar, calm down. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, calm down. And the man kept saying insulting things to the Prophet. Umar get angry on this. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, get down. Ya Umar, this is not how you should act. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam smiled and he said, please give him his money back and give him more. Then the man said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa Muhammadur Rasulullah. Why? Because he found every time he tried to make him more angry, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam became more calm. And he said to Umar, Ya Umar, you should ask me to pay my debt. And you should ask him to ask nicely. But don't be angry at him. When somebody advises you, don't try to justify. Don't be arrogant. Don't insist on the wrong. When somebody advises you, you know, be happy. Be grateful that Allah sent someone to advise you. You should, you yourself, go and ask for advice. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إِذَا اسْتَنْصَحَكُ, when you go to ask nasiha. That's why Umar radiallahu anhu arda said, there is no good in us if we don't accept your advice, and no good in us if we don't ask for your advice. So Umar said both. Al-Shafi'i said, I never advised someone and he accepted from me unless I respected him so much. And he became a close friend of mine. And no one ever rejected my advice unless this person fell from my eyes. Thank him or her when she advises you. Even for your own kids. Wallahi, many times my kids correct me. And I say sorry. And I say thank you. Is the reward of good anything but good? هل جزاء الإحسان إلا الإحسان? Also, Ibn Hazm mentioned this, and it's a very beautiful thing. Don't ever advise someone who is advising you. Ibn Hazm said that's a revenge. That's not advice. That's bad intention. يعني somebody giving you advice, and after revenge said, okay, and I have one for you too. You know, I want to also tell you something. Ah, no. I remember I called somebody and I gave him advice about something. And he said, and I have an advice for you. I said, no, I'm not going to listen. He said, how come you asked me to listen to me, your advice, but not now you don't want to listen to my advice? Because it's not advice. It's a reaction. You can call me after this and say, Waleed, I have an advice for you. I will hear you out. But I'm giving you advice and you reply by giving me advice back. That's a bad manner. Also, listen. Don't just hear the advice. Listen to the advice. Have a good intention. Maybe if it's not something in you, consider it a reminder. Something in you, it's a correction. Please, there is a difference between making fun of people and advising people. Please, there is a difference between advising people and being nosy. You don't know how many times I have to give people their nose back because I found it in my own business. You know, there is a difference between the two. And intention play a great role in this area. And the shaitan sometimes make us extreme in one of the two areas. Either we don't advise because it's personal, or we become too much involved in people's private life. Also, there is a difference between giving advice and judging people. I advise you, but I'm not being judging you. There is a difference between these two. The most effective nasiha, the most effective advice, the one that comes from a sincere heart, with a nice, gentle way. Advice will be much, have more effect when it comes from someone that is trusted. Before you start advising people, earn their trust, earn their love. You know, people will not care about what you're telling them until they know that you care about them. People will not care about what you're telling them and advising them about until they know that you care about them. Advice is such a beautiful thing because it gives you a fresh perspective, different perspective. It adds value to you. We should seek advice. Advice should be given to individuals, to organizations, to institutes, to government, to elected officials. We should be in the concept of advising. Sometimes we became so polarized politically that it's about, hey, I got you. I this. No, you don't feel sincere. I think Muslim can play that role of being sincere advisor, giving advice based on ilm and knowledge and with sincerity. And I can share a lot of success stories in regard to this. When we give an advice to certain things that we found a problem. And I will end with this. In Texas, we found, for example, that we have a law, you know, the law in Texas and many other states, many other places, do not differentiate between age group when it comes to somebody get arrested or put in handcuffs. Do you know more than 18,000 kids were put in handcuffs? 18 or 14,000 kids in a matter of a year or 2 years, something like that. You know how they handcuff kids from their elbows? 80% of them are mental health issues. The officers do that because that's the law. So a group of people came and talked to me, talked to other leaders in our community, and said, you know what? Why don't we advise the government about this? And we wrote, you know, studies and we met with the police department, head of the police, and they said, we would love this law to change. We don't want to handcuff kids. We go to teachers, we go to parents, we go to many educators, psychologists, and we build a coalition led by Muslims. And we give an advice to the elected official. And you know what? It became the state of Texas law now that anyone who's under the age of 10 years old will not be put in handcuffs unless in a very extreme circumstance. In a bipartisan fashion. And it was said in that time, this is the first time we see these people from across the aisle coming together. It was initiated as a nasiha, as an advice, and it took, you know, its process. And I know so many stories like this. I'm just giving you in a level of government and also on a level of personal. Sometimes we forget that we need to give advice, even to the people who are bad. Allah said, give advice to Fir'aun, وَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. Speak to them in a nice way. You know, unfortunately, today with social media, we became so aggressive. I used to say when before the name was changed, I used to say, tweet people the way you like to be tweeted. You know, I guess X people would like to be X today. I don't know how to say that today. But the cancel culture, yes, the aggressiveness, the accusation. You know, Dawood al-Dhahiri was debating someone once, and this man said to Dawood al-Dhahiri, Kafart walhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, I became kafir. Dawood al-Dhahiri said, are you saying alhamdulillah that I became kafir? You're happy that I became kafir? What is this? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, make us all sincere and know how to give advice. One of the best way to do that, to read in the seerah of the Prophet, these scholars, be around Ahlul Ilm, people of experience, and hopefully, inshallah ta'ala, we can grow. But advice, it is an essential thing, and it has to be revival between us, that we advise one another. We write letters to another, private message to each other. When you hear something wrong, you correct me, you tell me, you know. Just let's make sure that we care about each other's success and growth. Jazakumullah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tweet people the way you want to be tweeted. X people the way you want to be X'd. I love it. I love it. I love it. Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh Waleed. Really appreciate your time today, and your advice about advice was so meaningful, and we saw a lot of great notes and gems were being captured. Due to the time, folks, if you have questions, what I'm going to ask you to do, we're not going to do questions now, but we do have Sheikh Waleed with us tomorrow for Fatwa night, right? So if you want, what you can do is go into the portal, click on the hand, and we have, alhamdulillah, some room for additional questions there. So I did notice a lot of the questions you all asked, the Sheikh answered in his subsequent statement. So if you were paying attention, inshallah, you got a lot of your answers already. But if you have more pressing questions about Nasiha or any other fatwa around Ramadan or any of the other topics covered within Ramadan 360, just go to the form, inshallah ta'ala, and he'll be with us.
Would it be okay if I give a small Nasiha?
Of course, of course.
For everybody in this call, maybe somebody hear me. My advice to you, before I go, make sure you donate to Al-Maghrib. Wallahi, it is from a sincere heart to you, because it is one of the sadaqah jariyah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah for you. I advise for you what I advise for myself and my family. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you so much, Sheikh Waleed, once again. And for everyone, yes, you can donate at almaghrib.org/donate. The campaign is still live. You can automate your donations for the last 10 nights. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our sadaqah and to accept the time that we spend learning His deen. Allahumma ameen. Brothers and sisters, time is super precious today. We have about 15 and a half minutes for some reflections with our Ustada Taymiyyah Zubair. So I'll go ahead and add the spotlight here. Bismillah. Ustada Taymiyyah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You know, subhanAllah, I was so tired. And just listening to Sheikh Waleed, I don't know where that hour flew by. SubhanAllah.
Same here. I
enjoyed every minute of it, mashallah. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Same here, absolutely. Although we would love to benefit from your reflections. Bismillah.
All right, inshallah, let's begin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem. So just very quickly, I want to go over the meaning of nasiha. Just a few things, and then inshallah we'll take reflections. So the word nasiha is from the word nasaha, which is used to describe the act of clarifying or purifying honey. Okay, so nasr is clarified honey, because when you first extract honey, you know, there's bits and pieces of like all sorts of things. So to clarify honey is nasr. So nasr is when something is pure. And this is why the word nasiha is to give, it means to give sincere advice, meaning you have no ulterior motives, you have no other, intentions. Your pure intention over here is to wish the best for the other person. You want to direct them to what is best for them. Okay, so we see, for example, in the Quran, Nuh alayhi salam said, "Ubaligukum risalati Rabbi wa ansahu lakum." This is Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 62, that I convey the messages of my Lord to you and I give you sincere advice, meaning I'm telling you to do what is best for you. Then the word nasiha also means to be sincere and faithful in one's conduct with someone. So it's not just to give sincere advice, but it is also to act faithfully with someone, meaning you are sincere with them. And this is why we have in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that ad-dinu an-nasiha, the religion is sincerity. It is nasiha. So the people asked to who? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Allah. Now, you don't give sincere advice to Allah. No. What it means is that you are faithful and honest and sincere in your conduct with Allah. That you worship only Him and that you are not hypocritical, right? That you are truthful to Allah, also to His book, to the Quran, and also to His messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that you are sincere to all the Muslims and also the leaders, right? So we have this meaning in the Quran also in Surah Al-Qasas, where when Musa alayhi salam, as a baby, when he ended up in the house of Fir'aun, and they were struggling to find someone to nurse baby to nurse baby Musa, his sister was there, and she came to the rescue, and she said that هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى أَهْلِ بَيْتٍ يَكْفُلُونَهُ لَكُمْ وَهُمْ لَهُ نَاصِحُونَ. I'll tell you about a family who will take care of him and they will be very sincere to him, meaning in their conduct, they will be very honest and faithful to him. They will take care of him, the way that they take care of their own children. So this is basically what nasiha is, to give sincere advice and also to be faithful and sincere in one's conduct with someone, to not act, behave hypocritically with them. And the two are linked together because when you're giving advice to someone, right, your focus over there is not to, and as we learned from the excellent instructions that Sheikh Walid shared with us, or the etiquette of nasiha, your goal over there is not to glorify yourself, right? It is that you want the best for the other person, right? And when your focus is the other person's welfare, right, then you don't, your focus is not about how you feel. It's them, right? So for example, when there's a child who's throwing a tantrum, who's throwing a temper tantrum, right? If you focus on yourself about how you feel, then you're going to think like, this is so offensive. I'm losing my mind over here. This is, impossible to manage. But when your focus is on the child, right, then you focus on what they need to hear from you. They need you to be calm, not to blow up, right? They need you to have composure, to protect them, not that you start yelling at them, right? So the word nasiha occurs about 13 times in the Quran in different forms. And we see basically that in the Quran, the word nasiha is mentioned within the context of the stories of the prophets. And the prophets of Allah were all sincere to their people. If you look at Surah Al-A'raf, the stories of many prophets are mentioned. And they said to their people that وَنَصَحْتُ لَكُمْ, that I give you sincere advice. وَأَنَا لَكُمْ نَاصِحٌ أَمِينٌ, I am sincere to you. So all of the prophets of Allah, they were sincere to their people. They gave sincere advice, and we see this not just in the prophets of Allah, but also in the stories of other people who invited people to the worship of Allah alone. Like, for example, in Surah Yasin, the man who came and defended the prophets and called people to the worship of Allah. He was very sincere to his people. I wanted to reflect over the verses, but inshallah, another time. Just three more things. When we are giving advice to people, or to have sincerity for people, right, means that you direct them to that which is best for them. We, if you were asked, do you care about people? You would say, yes, I do, right? You have empathy, you want the best for other people, and that's great. But what does that mean? Does that mean that you want them just to be happy? You want them to feel safe? You want them to have access to clean water? What is it that you want for people? We see that the prophets of Allah, they cared about people, and you know what they wanted for them? They wanted to save them from the punishment of Allah in the hereafter. And this is why they guided people to that which is best for people, and that is Tawheed. That is the oneness of Allah. And for that, and in order to guide people to the truth, they did not water down the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Ya ayyuha rasul balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik. O Messenger of Allah, convey whatever has been sent down to you from your Lord. Meaning, don't conceal the truth, don't water it down. You have to tell the truth to people if you really care about them, right? And the second thing is that the prophets of Allah did not set their gaze on what people could give them. No, they all said, وَيَا قَوْمِ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مَالًا. I do not ask you for any reward. I do not ask you for any money. إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ. My reward is only from Allah. So when you want the best for people, that means you guide them to that which is best for them, and that you don't expect anything from them. And then the third thing I wanted to mention is that not all people like sincere advisors, right? So you could come to people with a lot of sincerity, you're very faithful and honest, but they don't like it. In Surah Al-A'raf, ayah 79, we learn that وَلَكِنْ لَا تُحِبُّونَ النَّاصِحِينَ. You do not like those who give sincere advice. And one more thing, not all people who claim to be sincere are actually sincere. Be careful, because in the Quran we see in Surah Al-A'raf that Shaytan said to Adam alayhis salam, وَقَاسَمَهُمَا إِنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ, that I am very sincere to you, take my advice. So when somebody is giving you advice, don't just accept it, right? You have to see what is it that you are being advised about, right? Like, for example, if someone, you as a Muslim hijab wearing woman, you go for your haircut and they say, you know, I'm telling you, your hair needs some sunlight. And all, you know, when you wear hijab all the time, it's really damaging your hair, right? And I have all this experience, and I'm telling you, I want the best for you. It's up to you. No, just because someone is saying that they want the best for you doesn't mean that they're giving you the best advice. All right, so be careful. Shaitan also said that I am very sincere to you. And the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam also said to their father, "Wa inna lahu lanasihun." We are very sincere to him. Please send him with us. Were they actually sincere to him? No, they weren't. So be careful, inshallah. All right, let's hear from you. We have about 5 minutes. So, okay, Bismillah. S, go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Welcome.
I have a close family member who moved to the area that I live in, and she's completely new to the environment. And I've been giving her advice since she came about, like the people, the norms, and the culture. And I realized like she didn't take a lot of my advice. So in the beginning, I was like very hurt, and because I was just looking out for her and her safety. But as time went on, I realized that she's not required to take my advice, and she's not like I can't push my advice onto her. I can do the best to advise her and the best to help her out and help her adapt and navigate the situation she's in, but she doesn't owe anything to me. And the thing you said about like some people don't like sincere advice, or sometimes you just have to be patient for them because it's not the right time to give them that advice, because I realize she's learning on her own bit by bit. So I still give her sincere advice to help her, but I don't have that intention of like, oh, I hope she takes it right away, because I realize that she is learning on her own and I can still help her, but I shouldn't expect anything out of her.
Good. Jazakallah khairan. Barakallah fiki. All right. Sister Bilqis, go ahead.
Assalamualaikum
Waalaikumsalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
When I reflect on advice, the intention should be there. It is to help. and it has to be sincere, coming from the heart. We have to check ourselves that why are we advising that person? For what reason? Is it to show that I have the knowledge, or what, really to help the person? And as well, where, not in front of everybody, and when to say it, and what, how to say it as well. And I think advice doesn't have to be by words, it can be by actions as well, mm-hmm. by our own action.
Yeah.
And that's it. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I think one thing that I took from Sheikh Waleed's session is that you cannot be impulsive when you're giving advice. You have to think through. And it's okay to take your time. It's okay to let your mind gain some clarity, and then you think through, and then you give sincere advice. Our next person, go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Am I audible? So a quick reflections, so I believe sometimes we kind of tend to overlook ourselves when giving advice. It is like we kind of get to learn something and we are quickly reminded of somebody in our family members. It is like, oh my God, I know this is for my brothers or my sisters or my mom or in-laws and so on. So I think it's important to remember that the first audience for our advice should be ourselves. It is like speaking in front of the mirror with our fellow, Muslims and believers. It is like they are the reflection, and I'm talking to first and foremost, to myself, like as a reminder. So when I say, pray five times a day, I'm actually speaking to first and foremost to myself, right? And that's like, it's mentioned in the hadith, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the believer is a mirror to his fellow believer. So I think we can find that connection here.
Jazakallah khair. This is very important that sometimes we're just focused on advising other people and we don't worry, we don't think about ourselves. Sometimes when we're learning something as well, the only intention or goal over there is, oh, I'm going to pass this on. I'm going to teach someone this. No, this is for me. So don't forget about yourself in caring about others. When you're on the plane, they say, first put the mask on yourself and then help the child next to you. All right, I think that's it.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is. Mm-hmm. How quickly the time goes when we're in the midst of some very wonderful reflections. Ustada Taymiyyah, thank you so much for sharing with us and for helping us to better understand this a beautiful, amazing concept of nasiha. May Allah bless you and bless your family.
Wa iyyakum. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And everyone, that brings us to the end. Some of you have been on the marathon session with us, mashallah, since 1 p.m. Eastern time. It's now 6:15 p.m. Eastern time. So just a few thank yous. Once again, thank you to our charity partners, HHRD. Here in the U.S., we have Islamic Relief in Canada, and we have Forgotten Women in the U.K. Thank you for those partners who allow us to continue to present Ramadan 360 to the world. Please support them at the links that we drop in the chat. Also, don't forget Al-Maghrib's giving campaign for the Al-Maghrib classes and webinars and sessions, and everything that comes along with that is still ongoing. Almaghrib.org/donate. We do have tomorrow a bit of an early start. If you want to join us for Fatwa Night, is tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time with Sheikh Waleed Bassouni. Go ahead and ask your questions in the portal if you haven't already. We'll try to get those covered for you tomorrow. And then we'll have our 5 p.m. session, inshallah, regularly scheduled programming with Ramadan 360. That will be with Sheikh Ahmed Salim talking about khushu', submissive humility. So that should be a really special session as well. The Kahoot is also tomorrow, guys. Kahoot is also tomorrow. So bring your game faces. I know it gets competitive. I know it's really fun. Be invested. Review your notes. Review the Padlet. All that information that you've been sharing and documenting the past week's information. Be ready to participate in that as well. And finally, for our UK folks, I know there are a few of you here. I saw Sister Ghazala, other folks from the UK. Remember your time change, right? So tonight there's a time change. You're going to the British summertime, which means that the session will be 1 hour later for those of us who are based in the UK. But please don't let that be a barrier to joining us, inshallah ta'ala. With that, I'm your brother and your host, Abdurrahman Wood. Thank you so much for spending some of your time with us today. May Allah bless you. May Allah bless your families and bless what's remaining in the month of Ramadan. We'll see you soon, inshallah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.